So good morning, everyone. In Europe, they had professional preachers. They didn't have rabbis speak every week. And the professional preachers usually started their drasha like this. Before I begin to speak, I'd like to say a few words. So before I begin the shiur today, I'd like to wish Mr. Weiser a very, very happy birthday. Many, many more. Emir Tzah Hashem in health and happiness. A 90th birthday is not something that we could belittle. Sigi, you should have many more years of health and happiness, nachas from kinder and from the Un Einikles and everyone else in the family. And Emir Tzah Hashem, we should continue to learn Torah together for many years.
Harvey Nicholson sent that message from Toronto.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So from Toronto,
Harvey,
who sits in our shir, sent the same message. So we dedicate the shir, with your permission, to your birthday and many more birthdays to come. Gentlemen, this Shabbos is a beautiful Shabbos because this Shabbos is Parshas B'Shalach, and Parshas B'Shalach dictates to us how we have to add calories every single Shabbos to our diet. Regardless of what you eat during the week, comes along this Shabbos with the psukim that we're about to quote and says you better add calories to your diet. What do I mean? Look in the top of the source. She's not, don't guess. Look in the top of the source. It's not Torah Shabbat. There's Torah Shabbat. The written Torah says, Vahi Bayom HaShishi, they're in the desert. It's the sixth day of the week, Friday. Lakhu Lechem Mishneh Shnei Omer Lechad. They didn't get one portion of man, or to be more precise, they didn't get two portions of man, one for a late breakfast and one for an early dinner, but rather they got double the portions, namely four portions. So they thought maybe there's a mistake because each person got a portion for breakfast, a portion for dinner. Now they're getting four portions, a double portion. And they went to tell it to Moshe, and you all know the continuation. Moshe says, yes, on Shabbos there is a prohibition of carrying from the public domain to the private domain and vice versa. So since the man is in the public domain, Rishut HaRabim, you can't put it into the private domain, your tents, and therefore God's giving you on Friday a double portion, and so you can bring it all into the tent before Shabbos, and thus you have all the man you need for Shabbos. That's basically what happened in this week's Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach.
Why did they make an Eruv?
Why didn't they make an Eruv? Because they couldn't. An Eruv can only be made in a place which is not a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa, not a biblical Rishus HaRabim. The biblical Rishut HaRabim, or to be precise, the biblical Rishut HaRabim, was in the desert. Shishim Ribo, you had everything there. All the criteria of a Rishus HaRabim. There were no roads, there was nothing blocking, open area, Rishus HaRabim. In that situation, you can't make an Eruv. You have to actually build gates or to build walls. An Eruv is only allowed in a Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, a Kar Milit as known. So most of the cities today that have an Eruv assume that it's a Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, a rabbinic Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you can build an Eruv. Okay? Mm-hmm. So after that commercial break, you can't carry from the public domain the man into the private domain, and thus they got a double portion on Friday. All their food for Shabbos was put into the tent on Friday, and ultimately they did not have to carry anything. Mr. Weiser.
She should not bother. This happened in general in the city.
Good question. If Shishim Ribo, if indeed you need Shishim Ribo.
The reason I'm asking you for, I'm going to Krakow for this in Shabbat.
Yeah.
We'll be in the chair. So the basket is okay. First, it's a Kamala. They said it's a Kamala. And there's no Shishim Ribo. So the, you know,
Yeah, if there's an Eruv in that situation, it's no problem.
No air in Krakow.
Oh, that's a problem. We'll deal with it some other time. You'll have to ask the local rabbis there. Oh, you'll have to ask the local rabbis there.
They roll
me. Okay.
That's more of a problem,
no question. So to make a long story short, we're not dealing with a Reuven today, which is a fascinating topic. We're dealing with the man. And because of this situation in the desert, comes the Gemara and says as follows, Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, the second source on the page, Amar Rabbi Abba, B'Shabbat Chayav Adam Liftzoa, Al Shnei Kikarot Tichtiv Lechem Mishneh. On Shabbos, a person has to break bread, as we say it in English, on two full loaves of bread. Why? Dichtiv lechem mishnah, because it says in the psukim in this week's parsha, they had a double portion. So every Shabbos, you have to have a double portion. Very nice. Amar Ravashi, says Ravashi. Chazina leil Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana on Shabbos. And what was Rav Kahana doing, says Ravashi? The nakitarte uvatza chada. He would take two loaves of bread, but only cut
one.
Good. Why? Amar liktuktiv, says Rashi, the mashma achiza, aval bitziya lo. All it says is that they took in a double portion. In other words, they held in their hands on Friday a double portion. Didn't mean they ate double on Friday, but rather they ate Friday morning one portion, Friday night another portion, Shabbos morning another portion, and finally what we call Shalosh Shudos, the last portion. So all you have to do, according to Rav Kahana, is take two loaves of bread in your hand, make hamotzi, but then you only have to cut
one.
Rabbi Zeira, here comes our problem. Rabbi Zeira, havibatzia kule shevute. What does that mean? Rabbi Zeira would cut a kule shevute. Oh. We don't know what that means yet. From our perspective, nobody here knows what that means. That's going to be the subject and topic of our shir. What did Rabbi Zeira do? Amale Rabina le Ravashi, said Rabina to Ravashi. You look like you're a hungry goat that can't take a little piece of bread. You're taking such a big, big, large portion. As to what that portion has, we don't know. But it looked like you're hungry. And in times of the Gemara, that was an insult. It's like the guy at the Kiddush who starts gobbling up all the food before anyone gets there. Answers our friend Rav Zeira, Amar Leh, Kivan de kol yomei lo avid, v'haidna hu deka avid. On a normal day of the week, I'm a nice, cultured individual, I don't do this, but only on Shabbos I do this. Lo mechzik rav anatuna, you can't insult me that I'm one of those that gobble up the food that looks like he's always hungry. Now what exactly did Rabbi Zeira do that they said, you look like a hungry goat, you look like someone that can't eat a normal portion? And he says, no, I only do it on Shabbos. So what did he only do on Shabbos? So everyone agrees, Rav Zeira, we won't insult him, he's not a hungry goat. But what did he do on Shabbos? What's Havibatze Akula Sheirute? Look on the right side of the page. Says Rashi, Prusa Gdola. What would he do? When he cut the bread on Shabbos, he cut a big piece of bread. V'daylo balo tasuda v'lichvot Shabbat. And that piece of bread was good enough for him for the entire meal. So he didn't cut a thin slice of challah. He cut a big slice of challah, which saw him through the entire meal. V'nir'ah kemechabev su'udat Shabbat lihitchazek v'le'echol arbei. It's Shabbos. There's another Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos that says, what's an neshama yetera that we get on Shabbos? What's that extra soul? It allows us to eat more food on Shabbos and not get sick. If you ate that amount of food on a Sunday, you'd get sick. So if you had a meal on a Sunday with gefilte fish and challah and chicken soup with the lakshin in there and the soup nuts and also the croutons, and then you had a chicken with potatoes and rice and a side dish of cooked vegetables, then you had a dessert, and I'm not even going to go into what you had there, you'd get sick. But on Shabbos, you have a neshama yetera. And on Shabbos, because you have this neshama yetera, says Rashi, you can eat more. But beyond what Rashi says in a different place, in this place, what did our friend Rabbi Zeira do? Did he cut the two challahs or one challah?
We don't know.
He cut one challah, says Rashi, prusa gdola. He cut from the challah a big piece. That big piece he ate throughout the meal. He ate it with his gefilte fish, he ate it with his soup, he ate it with everything at the meal. But he only cut one challah. He didn't cut two challahs. So Rabbi Zeira was called a person that takes too big of a portion, like a hungry goat. And the answer is, no, it's a chvot Shabbos, it's once a week. This is what I do on Shabbos during the week. I cut a thin slice, and that's good. But how many slices, how many challahs did he cut?
One.
What did he do with the other challah?
Saved.
He saved it. Good.
Is the implication he cut or that he Ripped,
cut, whatever you want. It doesn't make... I'm not going into what the people do. I'm not going to go and take away the parnassa from people that sell those challah knives. Do me a favor, Bruce. A little compassion to the Judaica stores in the world that sell those special knives with the Lichvot Shabbos on it. Some say Lichvot Shabbos Ve'yom Tev on it. Then they go ahead and they sell the beautiful, beautiful covers for the challah. Oh, beautiful. And my favorite, the Birkat HaBayit. That's something else. I once read a Birkat HaBayit under the chuppah. And, you know, Birkat HaBayit, the blessing for the home, beautiful words. So someone asked me, where do these beautiful words come from? And all I could think of was the seller in Me'ah Shearim. I don't know where it comes from. Beautiful. Make a long story short, you can cut, you can rip, you can do whatever you want. From our perspective today in this shir, Rashi says that Rabbi Zeira cut one challah and left the other challah aside, just like Rav Kahana did. In other words, this Gemara implies that all you have to do is cut one challah and the other challah you can leave aside. You have to make a motzi on two, Lecha Mishneh, but you only have to cut one.
Use the second one for another.
The difference, 1 second, the difference of opinion in the Gemara is when you cut that one, do you cut thin slices or big slices? But you cut one challah, yeah.
Is he only having one meal on Shabbat?
No, you're having three meals on Shabbat.
So is he doing this three times on Shabbat?
Yeah, we'll get to that later, but from our perspective now, yes. Let's just say for the first two meals on Shabbos, two breads in your hands, hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, you put one aside and you eat the other. Okay.
The second one you can't use for another meal, can you?
Like, why not?
Of course you can. Why not?
You can, I've heard you can.
Why not?
Why not?
Just because I heard you can. I don't know.
No.
I heard it. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I heard.
I heard Lashon Hara yesterday too. The Rambam says, just like Rashi, b'Shabbatot uv'yamim tovim, on Shabbos and Yontiv, chayav liftzoa al shtei kikarot, you have to make a motzi on two pieces of bread, and what's the manner that you do it? Notel shnehen biyado, you take both of them in your hands, uvotzeya achad biyam, and you only cut one, and so paskins the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, simon resh ayin dalet, votzeya al shtei kikarot, you take two chalas in your hands, shochet shnehen biyado, you take both of them in your hands, uvotzeya hatachtona, and you cut the bottom one. Comes along the Ramah and says, dafka beleile Shabbat, on the night of Shabbos, Friday night, you cut the bottom one. Aval biyom Shabbat or bilel yom tov, on Shabbos morning or on Yontov, you always cut the top. Forget about the top and the bottom. That's not our topic today. Suffice it to say, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, Rashi say, everyone in the Gemara, ne'enu himlichu ve'amru, on Shabbos, you have to take two challahs.
And
you only cut one. How big of a slice do you cut? That's a difference of opinion between Rav Kahana and Rav Zeira. But suffice it to say, one challah aside, one challah you cut. Who disagrees with Rashi? On my source sheets, it's not rocket science. The one on the left, the Rashba. The Rashba comes along and says, this is what Rashi says. Ve'ino mechuvar beinai. What's mechuvar?
My favorite, my eye.
Not clear in my eyes. What Rashi says is not clear to me. This is not how I understand the Gemara. The old other Rabbah, kol shum marbeva chaticha, have ayin yafa. The echi kavrile lahacha ravanuta. If he cuts a big challah, it's beautiful. He cuts a big challah. He wants to show he's into it. Why do you call him a hungry goat? Ella, rather, why did they call Rav Zeira a hungry goat? Nira, li. The butza al kikarot. Because on a normal day of the week, you come home for breakfast and you cut one piece of bread or two pieces of bread from one loaf. What is he doing on Shabbos? He's cutting both loaves. That's a lot of challah to cut. And because he's cutting both loaves, they called him a hungry goat and they said, no, I'm doing it for Shabbos. And because Rav Kahana originally, the Gemara said, only cut one, therefore, says the Rasha, Hacha Rabbi Zera, says the Rashba, Rav Zera came along and said, no, Batza kuluhu kikarot deman chikame. He would cut all the challahs in front of him. In other words, the Gemara didn't just bring a story about Rav Zera to say, oh, he cut a bigger slice than Rav Kahana. What is the Gemara wasting our time? What is the size of the challah you need to cut on Shabbos? That's the minutia? No, says the Rashba. Rav Kahana would cut one challah out of the two. And what would Rav Zeira do?
two.
In contradistinction to Rav Kahana, he would cut
two.
Both the chalas. So everyone agrees you have to make a motzi on both. And the machlokas between Rashi and the Rashba is, do you need to cut both or just one of them? Now you understand why they called him a hungry goat? Because he cut too many chalas. And he says, no, it's for Shabbos. Shabbos, you have to cut all the chalas in front of you. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says that even though the Shulchan Aruch paskind on the right side of the page, you only need to cut one of the two. V'Rashal v'Shla nahagu lachtoch shteihem kepeirush HaRashba. The Rashal and the Shla cut both chalas. V'chein hiskim agra, and the Gra agrees with this point of view. The Aruch HaShulchan, who is already getting close to our 20th century, V'ataya shabem medaktikim. Today, he says, there are many that are medaktik. B'medinot lita v'raisin v'zamut. I know what lita is. I don't know what rasin and zamut is. But we're talking about Eastern Europe. They do like the Gra, and they cut both chalas. So we found the machlokas today. That's as follows. Everyone agrees you need to take two chalas to remember what happened in the desert, perhaps. And ultimately, everyone agrees you have to take two chalas. Question is, how many do you cut? According to Rashi, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, how many?
One
out of the two. According to the Rashba,
two.
And we see that in the halacha, there's different points of view. Now, what is this machlokas based on? Very nice machlokas, two chalas, one chala. What is it based on? Obviously, it's not based on how many chalas do you cut. There obviously is a logic behind what they're saying that we're going to have to try to discern between us. So what's the machlokas between them?
Could it be if God's giving you a double portion, it's meant to be eaten?
Okay, beautiful. So, very nice. Look on the left side of the page. It says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'hach lechem mishneh miyutar, T'havi le'lichtov l'ktu shnei omer le'echad, V'hein zeh kefal advarim. Why does the Torah say lechem mishneh? They should have just said they took double the portion of man, shnei omer. They took one omer every day, they took shnei omer on Shabbos. That's the weight of how much they took. They go to the fruit store, they would weigh it, it would be shnei omer, not one omer. Why does it say lechem mishneh? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'zeh darshinan shezeh winyan b'fnei atzmo. This is an additional part of Shabbos. The experience of Shabbos is not just to take double of what you had on a normal day, but rather, hachi perusho, the halechem shel su'udot Shabbat tehiyeh mishneh, that the bread that you serve at the meal should be double. So during the week you take a loaf of bread and you cut a slice or two or three. What do you do on Shabbos? Double. Everything on Shabbos is double. Double the bracha.
Double the food.
Double the food.
Two bottles of
wine. Double two bottles of wine. Double the challah. That's what the Rashba says. Nothing to do with what happened in the desert. Shabbos, you double. You double up. So, we all know that the main part of the meal is bread, at least in the times of the Torah and the Gemara and Chazal. Everything else was like a side dish. So, you double up the main part of the meal. That's one perush, and therefore you have to cut both. Because if you only cut one, you're not doubling up. That's what you do every day. You have five loaves of bread in your cupboard, and you cut one of them. Shabbos, you double. That could be explanation number one for the Rashba. Explanation number two could be that, no, we're going back to the desert. At every meal on Shabbos, you have to remember what happened in the desert. But it's not just Friday night, but Shabbos morning and Shalosh Shudas, you have to remember the miracle at each meal. What was the miracle on Friday? That they got double the portion. So every time that you eat a meal on Shabbos, you have to remember that they had double in the Midbar. So you take two loaves of bread and you cut two loaves of bread. But it could be nothing to do with that particularly, but rather it's to double up on Shabbos. Ki hu amakor ha-bracha, Shabbos is a double bracha. So what would Rashi say? What would Rashi says? Who says you take two, but you only cut one? That seems a little strange. You have two, cut two. Why do you only cut one? Says the Bala Michtam. V'adeh haya yoter yafeh v'ne'erot lezikaron sheloktim shnei haomer uvatza echad lezecher shahaechad lebo bayom v'asheni meniach leShabbat umitkayem v'lo hivish v'rimam lo haytabo. Says the Bala Michtam. So explains the Mishnah Berurah. And the Aruch HaShulchan beautifully, the Bakol Bo Hevil of Mechilta B'Lashon Zeh. What do we do at every Shabbos meal? We don't remember there used to be a miracle in the desert of two double portions on Friday, but rather, we reenact We act out exactly the way it was in the desert. Not to remember there was a miracle. Everyone remembered, good, move on. But rather, we reenact it. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is the way to reenact it. Be'erev Shabbat, Yarad Lehem Aman B'Shnei Omarim. On Friday morning, they had double the portions. How many portions do they have? Breakfast is a new thing. In the Midbar, they had brunch and early dinner. So they had two portions a day, two meals a day. So what did they have on Friday? How many?
Four.
Says the Aruch HaShulchan. Omer asu shnei lechamim. They would make from one omer two portions. So, echad mi'em be'erev Shabbat baboker. One they would eat for breakfast on Shabbat on Friday. Va'asheni b'leil Shabbat. They had the second on Friday night. The third on Shabbos morning. And the fourth for Shalosh Shudas towards the evening of Shabbos afternoon. So therefore, what do we do when we basically take two breads but we only use one? We're doing exactly like they did in the desert. In the desert, what did they do? They had two breads, two mons, and they only ate one of them. They left the other portion for the next meal. So that's what we do. We have two breads, and then like what Mitch heard, dafka, yes, use it for the next meal, because that's what they did in the desert. So we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashba. Do you cut both of the challahs or just one? And we just explained. Are you reenacting what used to be in the desert? And therefore they only cut one, they left the other for the next meal? Or no? Perhaps you're just remembering that there was two breads that were given to them on a Friday in the Midbar at every single meal on Shabbos. Or as Mitch said, as Bruce said, maybe it has nothing to do with that. It just happens to be that on Shabbos everything is double. Double, double, double. Every meal you double up. So those are the two explanations. Are you reenacting what's happening in the desert? Or no, you're not reenacting what happened in the desert, but rather you're just remembering the miracle. Reenacting the miracle and remembering the miracle are two things. You could say, I remember the miracle because here's the two breads. So I'm doubling up here, I'm remembering the miracle and I'm eating them. Or no, I'm reenacting what used to be in the desert. So let's wear desert clothing. Let's pretend we're in the desert. And this is what they used to do in the desert. Kachayu avoteinu osim. They would take two breads, motzi lechem min haaretz, put one aside and eat them. Reenacting or remembering? Yeah.
I mean, practically speaking, if you're going to cut both loaves, it won't be as fresh the next day. So
that doesn't make a difference if it wasn't fresh the next day, because you're not going to have a full loaf the next day to make the hamotzi on.
So, and also, where did the other Shemur V'Zahor come in? I thought that's part of the double.
Not that I know of. But you could say, yeah, everything on Shabbos is double. Shemur V'Zahor, so fine. You can make a beautiful explanation. Why do you have two challahs? For Shemur and for Zahor. For the positive and the negative commandments on Shabbos. Mm. It's like at the Seder meal. Why do you have three matzahs for those that take three matzahs? Kohen Levi Yisrael. A beautiful explanation. I don't know where it's based on. I think the kids made it up. Some kindergarten teacher once came along and said it. Very nice. Okay, Kohen Levi Yisrael. Kohen Levi Yisrael is very nice. We have three aliyahs on a Monday and Thursday. Kohen Levi Yisrael. So now there's three matzahs. Kohen Levi Yisrael. Okay, you could say Reuven, Shimon, Levi too. I don't know. But quite frankly, Zachor V'Shomer could be nice. So do we reenact the miracle and therefore we only cut one of the two because that's what they did in the desert? Or no, we're just remembering the miracle at every single meal. So we take the two challahs and we eat the two challahs. Well, we're not reenacting, we're remembering. Or nothing to do with reenacting, remembering. It's just that there's a double bracha on Shabbos. So is there any nafkamina, any ramification? Very nice. We have a machlok at Rashi and Rashba. Do you cut both challahs or one? Is there any nafkamina, any ramification?
If it would be a reenactment, we'd also have to sit in our togas or something, or
in a what?
We have to sit. If it was really a reenactment, we would have to do more.
So Baruch Hashem, Chazal didn't obligate us to sit in desert clothing, or in the desert for that matter, or in tents for that matter, sukkahs. But rather, we can eat at home. They only said you have to reenact the man. As to why they picked on this and not on other things, a topic for a different discussion.
And then the Kiddush, we say Zachar Letzias Mitzrayim.
We say Zachar Letzias Mitzrayim, yeah.
Commemorating as if it's a remembrance of.
Okay.
We never say we're.
So Chazal said the extent of it on a Shabbos is just the Lechem Mishneh. Not more. Okay? For example, on Shabbos there's no mitzvah to go on in Parshat Beshalach and complain about the lack of food like they did in the desert. There's no mitzvah to do. You don't have to complain. There's no dessert to complain, but there's no mitzvah. So is there any ramification for what we said? Do you have to cut one challah or two challahs? The first ramification is, can one of the two challahs be frozen? Not edible to eat. Mm. Not edible to eat.
Big issue.
So, if you're reenacting what happened in the desert, What did they have on Friday? They had two edible, fresh mons that could be eaten. They only ate one on Friday night. They left one for the next day. But they were both edible. So maybe you can use a frozen challah. But if all you're doing is remembering the miracle, there's no mitzvah to eat it. You just have to show that there was a miracle. You have to show there's a double bracha. Comes along Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachot. Mr. Wiesen knew Rav Menashe Klein personally. And Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachot says, Vayen prima gadim, v'misha en lo lechem mishne ki'im echad patakum. Listen to this case. You have two breads in front of you. One of them's patakum. Bread baked by a non-Jew. Which there's a tarim for, but on the books, you're not allowed to eat it. So there's one piece of bread you could eat, kosher, and you have a non-kosher piece of bread. Can you make lechem mishnah on them and say, "Amaytza lechem min haaretz"? Says the Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein, kasher shef shashi ani achashni azecher laman afilu ino achel. He comes along and says, if it's just to remember the miracle, yeah, no problem. Put one aside. What you have to do is remember the miracle. But if you're reenacting the miracle, they both have to be edible. And this one's patakum. So comes along the Minchas Yitzchak, of Yitzchak Vosner, and comes along the Titz Eliezer, and an interesting, everyone's matir to use a frozen challah, but for different reasons. Came the Mishnah Alachot and said, all you have to do is remember Zecher Laman. So here, I remember the man. Everybody say, remember the man. We're not going to reenact what they did in the desert. We're just remembering the man. Comes along the Minchas Yitzchak and the Tzitz Eliezer, and they basically say, no. If you indeed had Patakum, like the Mishnah Alachot said, no good. But this frozen piece of challah, is it not edible? Or is it not edible now? Says the Minchas Yitzchak that ultimately it's mutter to use. Why? Because kavor tzatzman yasur kriro tome atzmo. It's good, it's edible. Wait 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending if your heat is working, if you're cheap on heat or not. So the cheap people will wait 10. The cheap people will wait 20 minutes, and the people that are a little more generous, 10 minutes. The second challah will be edible. You can cut it. Who said you have to cut it exactly at that moment? Who says you have to? So quite frankly, the Minchas Yitzchak says, hey, you need to have two edible challahs in front of you to reenact what used to be in the desert. Who says frozen challah is not edible? It's not edible now. It will be edible in a few minutes. The Titz Eliezer says exactly the same thing. She'ina ra'ui ke'et la'achila. But it will be. So we have a beautiful ramification. Can you use a frozen challah? If you're reenacting what happened in the desert, then you have to say that you can use a frozen challah because it is edible. But case scenario, it's not edible. It's not kosher, for example. You can't use it for lechem mishnah. You have to have two edible pieces in front of you. But if it's not reenacting, it's just remembering once upon a time there used to be two challahs. Take two challahs. Take two challahs. One is totally not kosher. One is kosher. Put them together. I'm not saying to do this at home. This is a little dangerous. Put a non-kosher piece of bread in the house. But quite frankly, you can do it. Take a non-kosher piece of bread, and here, I'm remembering the miracle. The problem is, the Rashba would say you have to cut both of them. So I'll cut it, I won't eat it. Who says you have to eat it? That's ramification number one between the Rashba and Rashi. Are we reenacting the miracle, and therefore you have two pieces, you have to have two loaves that are edible? Or are we just remembering the miracle, and therefore here, I'm remembering, everybody see? Beautiful. It's like, here. Everybody remember, there used to be a coffee cup. It looks like this. There's no coffee in it. It looks like a coffee cup. Right? You could take two toy challahs and say, here, look. I'm not saying you can do this on Shabbos, but I'm saying here, two toy challahs. But if you have to reenact what happened in the desert, you have to eat one of the challahs. And therefore, you can't use toy challahs. Second ramification. This is a more important ramification. Because everyone agrees you can use a frozen challah. So, for different reasons, but each one agrees. But this ramification, Bruce, this is the clincher. This is the one that the whole world deals with. Why? Because, you see, Friday, people go to the bakery, they buy challah, Baruch Hashem. They have challah at home Friday night, but sometimes you miscalculate. And you get the challah shudas, and something went wrong. What do I mean? You bought four challahs. You have lechem mishnah for every meal. Four challahs. Very, very nice. But if you get the challah shudas, either someone ate one of the challahs by mistake, or a piece of it fell off and therefore it's no longer full, there could be a problem. Do you need lechem mishnah at challah shudas? Now, without looking at the sources, what do you say? If you're reenacting the desert, what did they have at Shalashuddas? By Shalashuddas, what did they have left? Of the double portion of man they got on Friday.
One!
If you're reenacting the miracle, all you need is one, says the Torah. And he explains why you need one. Because on Friday, Biyom Vav, Yarat Lekol Echad Shnei Omarim, on Friday they had double the portion. So they had four portions. So they ate one Friday morning, one Friday night, one Shabbos morning. What's left?
One
for Shalosh Shudas. Beis Yosef says, in the name of the Shibole HaLeket, B'Shem HaRav Rabbeinu Binyamin, Telekok Pei Deliftzoa Beit Tikarot. There's no reason to use Lechem Mishneh Chalashudis, the Mehecha Yelfinan Me, Milaktu Lechem Mishneh Shnei Omer, the Kivan Shachus Sudat Shacharit, Loyal Lechem Mishneh Batzoharayim. In the desert, by the time they got the Chalashudis, they only had one. So we have to reenact the desert. So, just like our forefathers did in the desert, they had one left by Chalashudis. We also have one left by Chalashudis. The Ramah says, V'lefachot lo yelo besudash tashit pachot mikikar achat shalem. You need to have at least one by Shalosh Shudas. So Mizeh Pashat HaMinhag, and from here the Minhag has developed, Lahakel, to be Mekel, Liftzos Besudash Tashit, Rak Bekikar Achat Shalem. But if it's not reenacting, 1 second, Harold, it's to remember the miracle at every single meal on Shabbos. Chazal were enacted that you have to remember the miracle at every single meal, then... Not just the Chalosh Shudas. If you have 5 meals on Shabbos, maybe you need to have Lechem Mishneh at every single meal. At every meal on Shabbos, you have to remember there used to be a miracle. You don't have to reenact what was in the desert. You have to remember there was a miracle at every meal. The Torah indeed says, V'katav HaRambam, V'gam Mesudash Tashit, Koveh Alayayin, Uvotzeh Ashtei HaKikarot. The Rambam Shittas, you have to make Kiddush at Chalosh Shudas and have Lechem Mishneh. We don't pass on like the Rambam. V'adoni Avi HaRosh, my own father the Rosh, says the Torah, Lo'yal Mavarech Alayayin Kodem, he didn't make Kiddush at Chalosh Shudas, V'alayah Botzeh Al Beit HaKikarot, but he would use Lechem Mishneh. The Beis Yosef says to do it in the name of the Shiboleh Leket, and says, V'amakpit Bezes Charo Ito Pulato Lefanav. Whoever's makpit on Chalosh Shudas to have 2 challahs has a great reward. And he brings a whole bunch of Rishonim that agree. The Mordechai, the Ri, the Ramban, the Maharam. All the Rishonim agree. And indeed the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rov Rishonim. Ein tzarich lekadesh besudash lishit. You don't need Kiddush at Shalosh Shudas. Some benchers have it like Shitas HaRambam, but you don't need Kiddush. Aval, however, tzarich liftzash tekikarot. You need to make Hamotzi on 2 breads. Again, if you're reenacting the miracle, by Shalosh Shudas only had 1. If you're not reenacting the miracle, but the halacha is to remember the miracle at every meal, you need to have it also at Shalosh Shudas. Comes along the Ramah and says, indeed, v'im soed haber pamim b'shabbat. Let's say you have 5 meals on Shabbos, 10 meals on Shabbos. Your dietitian told you, you should have smaller portions, but to have more meals. Every 3 hours, eat a smaller portion. Your dietitian tells you to do this. So on Shabbos, instead of having 3 meals, you have 5 meals. Says the Ramah, tell your dietitian, I'm going to have 5 meals, but I got a problem. My calorie level is going to go up. Why?
You're eating bread all the time.
Say again?
You're eating.
Again, if you're reenacting the miracle by Shalosh Shudas, only had 1 left. If you're not reenacting the miracle, but rather the halacha is to remember the miracle at every single meal, or to show that Shabbos is double the portion, then every meal on Shabbos you need to have Lechem Mishneh. So to make a long story short, gentlemen, just to sum up, today we learned the halacha that you need to have a double portion of challah at every meal. It could be challah, pita, whatever you want. But quite frankly, everyone agrees with that. The question is, do you need to have it at every single meal on Shabbos? So we said it's based on the machlokas of Rashi and the Rashba. Do you cut both challahs or just one? And we explained that behind this machlokas is, do we reenact what used to be in the desert? Or do we just remember there used to be a miracle? If you reenact it, then by Shalosh Shudas you don't need to have 2 challahs, because in the desert they only had 1. If you have to remember the miracle at every meal, that's the halacha, then every single meal on Shabbos, 4, 5, 6 meals, doesn't make a difference, you have to have a double challah at every single meal. Now, we've explained, this is the machlokas between Rashi and the Rashba. We added in, this would also lend itself to a machlokas, what would happen with a frozen challah? Because if you're reenacting what happened in the desert, they had 2 edible mans. And if you have a frozen challah, maybe it's not edible. So we saw that everyone agrees a frozen challah is okay, but for different reasons. One person said it really is edible. It will be edible in 10 minutes after it thaws out. And the other day I said, no. Who says it needs to be edible? You have to show that there was double. But here, I'm showing this double. You could take a toy challah from that perspective, perhaps. I mean, say you can. But I'm just saying we can maybe even go into that and say, here, we're showing that there was a miracle. Who says you have to eat it? So that's probably the machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba. Lahalocha, as you could see, there were different points of view. The Shulchan Aruch does paskin, you only need to cut one, but the Mishnah Berurah says many have said that you have to cut two, and the Gross said you have to cut everything in front of you. I'll just add at the end of the shir that there is a Hasidic minhag to have 12 challahs. Take a wild guess. Why?
Lechem
aponim. And therefore, according to the Rashba's point of view, how many challahs would you have to cut? No. Every single one in front of you.
Everything in front of you.
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't it be
a lot of bread. You better make a challah. Yeah.
Remembering to have matzah, because the man was described as a thin wafer.
Yeah.
So the matzah is a better reenactment. It remembers the miracle rather than a fluffed up challah.
Correct. However, no one really knows what the man looked like, even though the halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, and Aaron did, was to keep a little tzinsenet, a little jug of man next to the Aaron, and that was, but we don't have the Aaron, we don't know exactly what it looked like. The Torah tries to tell us, but we don't know. Correct, but the halacha was that the Chazal were enacting it was that you have to have something that's ultimately bread, namely made out of grain. As if it's challah or matzah, that of course would ultimately be based on your own taste. For Ashkenazim, for Sfardim, you have a bigger problem because the Sfardim don't necessarily make hamotzi on matzah, except for on Pesach.
Two questions for you. One is, I eat shosheret, I have shnei lechem. But where did the minhag come from?
You don't have shtei halechem, you have lechem mishnah. Shtei halechem was a korban on Shavuos. Yeah.
Where did the minhag come from that you can... two questions for you. One is, where did the minhag come from that you can be able to say shosheret with just cake or fruits? And the other question is, what about lav malka? Because in the midbar, they didn't have the lechem mishnah.
Okay, that's a separate shiur. I won't go into it today. It's a separate shiur as to shalosh shudas. How do you mekayim shalosh shudas? Do you actually even need to have bread? We saw that there's two points of view today. There's a third point of view. It's good enough to have minei tirgama, which means whatever you'd like, a piece of gefilte fish or whatever. And some even say you can learn Torah. That's good enough for shalosh shudas too. Ultimately, though, the regular, I would say, the main thoroughfare of poskim say you need to have bread at shalosh shudas. As to 201, we saw that today. So that's a separate shir in and of itself.
Okay.
As to that. What was the second question?
Malava Malka.
Malava Malka is a halacha and Shulchan Aruch. To Malava the Malka, and ultimately to say goodbye to Shabbos the same way we greeted Shabbos. So we greeted Shabbos with a cup of wine, we say goodbye to Shabbos with a cup of wine. We greeted Shabbos by lighting the Shabbos candles, we say goodbye to Shabbos with...
But that's Havdalah.
With the Havdalah. And we greeted Shabbos with a meal... And we say goodbye to Shabbos with a meal. That's a halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch. But that's a shir in and to itself.
Okay.
As to where it's based on, because as we saw in the Midbar, only had us four.
Right,
how did he get to the five? But ultimately, that's a separate halacha, and that's a separate shir. Maybe we'll deal with it one day, as to where Malava Malka came from, yes. And what it's supposed to do.
From the shir,
and how come it's in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's not just a fundraising idea. It's actually in Shulchan Aruch.
And is the idea of ripping it better in that, because maybe they didn't all have knives, and maybe they ripped it?
I don't see any halacha ripping, cutting. You can do whatever you'd like.
But where did that idea...
Again, you can rip or cut, whatever you'd like. The question is, how cultured are you, and what you're used to in your house? And it depends also what the challah looks like. The challah today that it's easier to rip, and there's challah today that's easier to cut.
Chassidic homes like to rip.
Okay, again, this is already beyond the halacha per se. Yes, Mr. Weiser.
Well, you mentioned Menashe Klein. I just told him briefly, a few seconds. When he came to America in 1947,
yes.
He made the Klausenberger Rebbe.
The Klausenberger Rebbe.
So, me and my friend, Laser Stendi, we went over to his. He arrived in America, he went to an uncle. The uncle is not a Shana Shabbos, he had a candy store, and he was there. So we went, myself and Laser Stendi went, and he didn't know South Avenue. If you're familiar in Brooklyn, it's Lee Avenue, no, Lebanon, Lebanon, yeah. Lebanon,
it's Williamsburg.
We walked over to there, and Asha come to the yeshiva, we have three or something, you can be the fourth. says, no, he was older. I was at that time, I was maybe 8 or 19 years old, something like that. And he was in the 20s and he was older. Come to this, no, I don't have to tell him what. It was a long story. So we convince him to come to the culture. The rest is history.
Beautiful, beautiful. I want to record that story for posterity because maybe the recording didn't pick it up. Mr. Wise is celebrating his 90th birthday, says that when he, after the war, got to America, he was in the DP camps with Rav Menashe Klein, Elie Wiesel, and other famous names. The Kleisenberger Rebbe wanted to start a yeshiva. He went to Rav Menashe Klein and was already working and said, come to the yeshiva. And Rav Menashe Klein said, I want to work. I want to start life. I don't need to go to yeshiva. And he said, no, come. And as Mr. Weiser said, the rest is history. 19 volumes of Mishneh Halachos. Mr. Weiser, you have a big schluss, and we quoted him today.